I'm back in Louisiana. How many of you are actually from Louisiana? Raise your hand. That's it. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I went to LSU. Go Tigers, huh? And then I left and never looked back. And this is why. This is why. You can be melting and there's no sun. Did you notice that? This doesn't happen in Florida. I mean, at least we got breeze. We got air. My Lord is like, okay, so I don't know how you put up with it, but God is good, right? Huh? All the time. Well, I am privileged to be here. I really am. Now, let me make sure I sit under the top of the dome, because that's where the blessing is, right? You know, right under the... I've never preached from a geodesic dome before, so this is a special time for me. And they say that there's energy in the center of it, so I want to make sure I want to get in the middle of it. Okay, and if you were smart, you'd probably be... Think about this. If you had tickets to an LSU game, let's say a big one, like LSU versus Florida, and you got to pick where to sit, where would you sit? Huh? Well, no, because you're Baptist. You know, we want to sit up in the top of Death Valley. We want to go to the last row, the nosebleed section. That's where we want to go, right? Isn't that funny? We want to be in the first row when we go to the game, but then when we come to church, we go back, okay? So anyways, I'm trying to reach out to you. I'm trying to reach. Yeah, I got you. I'm trying to reach out to you. I'm going to have a prayer right now. And it's a different kind of prayer. And God has put this in my heart. And I've been burdened by this. Do you know that this is the most exciting service this church has? Okay, did I hear an amen or something? Huh? This is the English-speaking service. Huh? I mean, how do you feel? Don't you feel weird? Don't you feel like a Coca-Cola salesman at a Pepsi convention? I mean, isn't this supposed to be a Hispanic church? Don't you feel weird? You guys figured something out that a lot of the people in this church haven't figured out yet. You're a step ahead of the game. And what you figured out is that this church is the church. It's not a Hispanic church. It's not an English-speaking American Anglo church. It's a church for everybody. And you've taken, I mean, if you're Hispanic, it's easy coming to this church. Hey, you know, everybody looks like me. Everybody talks like me. You eat yuca con chicharrón. I mean, this is amazing. But what happens if you're not? So you've had to cross an extra wall. You've had to jump an extra hurdle. You've had to take a step that I believe God is leading you to take, but even more so. I believe God is telling this church to do just what you've done. And it's not just a matter of speaking English. It's a matter of making people feel comfortable in the house of God. And so I applaud you for that. And so if you don't mind standing up for 1 second, we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. And the reason why I'm going to pray for you is because I see these empty spots filled. Because let's face it. Okay, I believe that 90% of the people outside the walls of this geodesic dome speak English. And we're here to fish. And we're not picky because God's not picky. So if 90% of the people around here speak English, guess what? We're going to speak. And guess what? We're going to fish. And so I want to take this time to pray for that. Father God, we thank you because you are here with us. And even though right now it looks like it's a small group and that there's more empty spaces than filled spaces, the reality is that we can look down the road in faith and see this place filled. Because the truth is that you've already started working. The leaven is already working in the body of the mass of the flour for this bread to grow. And Father, I thank you for these individuals who are here, these my brothers and sisters, who even though they speak English and even though they feel comfortable in an English-speaking culture, they've taken that extra step. They've crossed that wall to be here in what seems to be a Hispanic church to worship you in English, because we understand that church is not about being Hispanic or being African-American or being Anglo. It's about being the person that you've called us out to be. It's about being us with you, regardless of race, regardless of culture, regardless of country of background. We're here to preach Jesus because that's the command you've given us. And thank you that Jesus speaks English. Father, be with us as we share this morning the word that you've given us for these my brothers and my sisters so that we can lift off and fly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know what they say about senior citizens? Hey, do you know that I have my AARP card? I always wanted to get one because of all the wonderful and amazing discounts. Let me tell you something. I don't have a time to go down that road, but I've gotten my money's worth out of that card. But the idea is that they told me something a long time ago. I studied psychology of development or developmental psychology, and they said, you know, one of the things is that as people get older, they start going back and becoming like kids. The older they get, the more childish they become. And then I had my grandfather. And my grandfather, he lived here in Louisiana with us. My parents live in Kenner. And I grew up in Kenner. I went to Bonneville High School, in fact. And then I went to LSU. And I got kicked out of there and ended up finishing up at UNO. That's another whole story. So don't get me going down that road. But the idea is that I saw my grandfather. He was almost like a kid. He could play with children, and I thought, wow, that's kind of weird. And now it's happening to me. I'm becoming a kid. And so one of the things that I like to do now is to play, okay? Because kids like to play with toys. So I brought one of my little toys that I want to play. Now, my wife says that I'm dangerous when I get into a toy store because I'm like a kid. I want to try things out. Oh, look, this works. Will you stop? Will you stop? Okay. And so I went and got me a toy. I mean, you're not going to believe what I got. This is a really good deal. I got me a plane. And so today, where's my plane? We're going to be talking about flying, okay? And so the title of the sermon has to deal with flying. And now, guess what this is? Yeah, I got me a model plane, okay? I got me a model plane. Now, do you think that I can fly this thing? Whoa, okay, now, okay, you know what they say, you're supposed to read the instructions, but, okay, what do you need for this thing to fly? Huh? Now, thank God that I actually have wings in here. It comes with wings. Now, wouldn't it be funny if this thing that we call a toy airplane came without wings, okay? Now, it did come without instructions, so you kind of have to, I got a PhD, so I should be able to figure this one out, okay? And so you put it together, okay? And, okay, now can it fly?
No.
Well, not exactly. This is not the way it's supposed to fly because, once again, what do we need? We need wings, okay? So this doesn't, take much science. We put it together. And so now it's starting to look like what? It's starting to look like an airplane, okay? And you're going, man, this guy's an idiot. What the heck is he doing? He's supposed to be up there preaching, and now he's playing around with a little plane. Man, he really is getting old now. No wonder. Now what does this do, huh? Huh? Now I need volunteers here because I think this thing is going to go somewhere, huh? Can you help me? Huh? Whoa! Look at that, huh?
You really did pay them, huh?
It flies, huh? Okay, there's no juca today, so don't be looking for that. Huh? Okay, you ready? Huh, Tiffany? Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, this thing does tricks. Well, I guess that you need some practice with this, huh? What's the deal? Whoa, now she can do it. Woo! Oh, thank you. Thank you. Whoa! Now, isn't it funny? Isn't it funny? I mean, I remember as a kid, growing up in Cuba, in Cuba, we didn't celebrate Christmas. First, because the communists didn't let us. And second, because in Latin countries, you don't give any gifts in Christmas. You give it on the day of the Three Kings, which is what? January 6th. And because my father was in prison, and well, that's a whole nother story. We only got one gift, and so we treasured that one gift. And there was nothing better than you going out to all the other kids, and you had a gift, and they didn't. And how do you think I felt? I got a toy, and you don't. Don't you feel bad when I'm sitting here playing with a plane, and you don't have one? Huh? Well, I thought about that. Now, obviously, I'm not going to give you my plane, but you know what? I need some volunteers here. Who can help me come out here? I'm going to give each one of you a plane. I'm not going to be greedy, okay? I have a little plane for each one of you. And you know what? I know this is weird, and maybe, what kind of a preacher is this? He's playing around with a toy, and now he wants us to play with toys. Maybe you're embarrassed because, well, we're an adult. We don't play with toys, huh? Maybe you should. Maybe you should go to Toys R Us one day and make some noise, huh? And so if you don't mind, give everyone one of these little things. And I know this is going to sound weird because usually we tell you that at church you're not supposed to play or fidget or anything like that. You have my permission to open this thing up while I'm talking and to actually build it. Now, once again, this doesn't come with any instructions. So this is not rocket science. Well, it's kind of like rocket science, but it's not really rocket science. So take your little plane. And as I start going through and building up the ideas that we're going to share today, then I want you to follow. Okay, no, I took my Spanish Bible. That's not going to work. Okay, I want you to follow along because there's a strong teaching in the Bible for us about flying. Okay, and so the title of the sermon is something that I want you to think about and let it stick in your head. We live to fly. Now think about this. How many of you think you're birds? Now come on, going once again to when you were a kid. How many of you didn't put a towel around your neck and pretend like you were a superhero? Huh? Because I had a sister, and my sister used to do it too. She used to be Supergirl, okay? And we used to have these amazing battles, okay? And they were all in the air. We were always flying from one place to another. And I don't know, kids today, they've changed a lot. But I remember when I was growing up, how many of you have actually climbed a tree? Okay? I grew up where you could actually, it was okay. Parents didn't care if you climbed as high as you could. And I remember sometimes getting pretty dizzy up there. And the idea is that we always want to fly. So there's something inside us. There's a little switch inside us that tells us that we live to fly. Now, I had a buddy when I was in college that he was constantly soaring because he was on pot, okay? And so he lived to fly. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? And some of you may be looking at painkillers like, no, we're not talking about that, okay? We're going to talk about something different, to fly. And the example that the Bible gives is eagles. Now, how many of you have seen an actual eagle? Okay? How many of you have seen an eagle outside of a zoo? Well, this is something interesting. In the Florida Everglades, the American eagle still survives. And there's nothing more amazing. I like to go riding bikes through the Everglades. And so one time I'm going with a group, we're riding bikes, and all of a sudden this amazing bird just comes. Woof. Let me tell you something. It's impressive. That's why, what's the symbol of this amazing country? The eagle. Okay, the bald eagle is the symbol of this democracy. And there's a reason for that. They're impressive. I mean, it's like, woof. Okay? And then the other thing is that next to my son's high school, they found an eagle's nest. And so, of course, what happens? It's protected. So the police came and put a huge barricade, and a bazillion bird lovers, which I don't know where they came from, they show up with these telescopes and huge cameras, and they're taking pictures until finally the baby eaglet came out. And it was a story that even the television kept tracked off in the news channel because they wanted to see how the little eagle grew. And finally, after time, the little eaglet got to fly. And it was amazing because people were making bets. Is he going to fly? Is he not going to fly? Is he going to hit the ground? Because these animals are built to fly. And so we're going to read a passage that you've probably heard, and I'm going to flip it upside down so that we can come up with a lesson for us today, okay, that has to do with flying. And so we're going to look at, if you turn into your Bibles, to Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet during a very difficult time in the history of Israel. In chapter 40, is one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible. I don't have time to go through the whole chapter, but if you mark it down, when you get home today, right before you take your nap or after you take your nap, then go ahead and read this chapter because it's worth reading. It's going to lift you up. It's going to build you up. But I just want to take some time to look at the back end of the chapter. And we're going to look at verses 29 through 31. Okay? And you've heard it before. You've seen it on papers. You've seen it on posters. You've seen it in pictures. It's one of those verses that sticks out in the Bible. And I'm going to read it and you follow in your Bible. Okay? And it says that God, he gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Okay, how many of you are tired? Huh? It's interesting, but we live in a society that we're running ragged. Okay, we're running. If you don't believe this, go to a third world country, or go to another country where life is different, and you're going to see that it's almost like they're on slow motion. I mean, I had to kind of hold myself back because I went on a missions trip, and I told the pastor, man, what do you guys do except waste time? I mean, in one day, I do 20 visits. I mean, you guys are sitting here just, oh, we're going to do one visit. You got to get the donkey. You got to get on the donkey. You got to go over there. Oh, well, by the time over there, we got to have a coconut. All right, let's go over here. Oh, look, there's a stick over there. I'm saying, come on, guys, what is this? You know, let's get it. You know, let's get it. Well, what happens is that you become de-stressed. So these people are going to live forever. We're going to sit here and die because we're running ragged. Okay, and some of us, this is another sermon, some of us are running ragged for Jesus. That's even worse. Okay, and so he says he gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Youths may faint and grow weary. Okay, so much for all you strength builders. Okay, youth may faint and grow weary, and young men stumble and fall. But here's the kicker. But those who trust in the Lord, what's going to happen? They will renew their strength. Those who trust in the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will soar. Okay, they will soar. Okay, they're going to be lifted up. They're going to be brought up. There's going to be power under them that's going to bring them upwards, okay? They will soar on wings like eagles. I am so happy that they put eagles there. Can you imagine if we would have said wings like chickens? They're going to soar like wings like chickens, huh? I got in trouble the other day. They were having a picnic at the seminary that I direct. And so all the students are gathered and their families and everything. And they said, Dr. Lema, will you give the grace for the food? Which, oh, there's a bazillion. There was barbecue. There was a lot of food and everything. And so all of a sudden, there's two ducks coming by. And I don't know why, would somebody tell me that I'm about to do the prayer and I'm spiritually minded. Dr. Lema, will you just shoo the ducks? They're right in front of me. Yeah, that's a great idea. So guess what I did? I'm a kid at heart. Remember I told you? Huh? I kicked them. I mean, it was perfect. The duck, he was just sitting there. And I mean, it was a perfect kick. I could have worked for the Dolphins as a kicker. I mean, it was boom. And would you believe the duck never thought about opening his wings? So he just went boom. And so then, of course, everybody started, I can't believe you did it. My wife goes, I can't believe you did that. And I'm going, I thought it was pretty cool. Okay. And I'm sitting there going, why in the world did that duck open his wings? He can fly. So I'm glad it doesn't say there they will soar on wings like ducks. Okay. It's like what? Eagle. And this is kind of like the American eagle. This isn't some little, small eagle from some little weird place in the world. It's the big one, okay? This is the royal bird. So this thing is just, okay? And so the idea is that they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And so we read this, and what do we get out of it? Let's be honest. What do we get out of it? Nothing. I mean, we read it, we see it on the little cards. Oh, that's pretty cool. That will soar on wings like you. Woof, 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 woof. Okay, woof. Nothing happens. We're still walking around like chickens. I'm serious. Think about it. If you could describe your life, would you describe it as an eagle soaring through the sky? Woof. Or as a chicken? I mean, let's be honest. Most of us are what? Okay. How many of you have actually seen chickens in the wild? Okay. Well, actually, I spent a whole year with family in Spain, and I got to live in a farm. So I spent a year in a farm, and in Cuba we had chickens, and so I know what chickens look like. So you see chickens. Now, when you go to the Winn-Dixie or to the supermarket, wherever you go, there's chickens there. You don't see eagles there. Why? Because you got to catch them. They're not easy to catch because they soar. Catching a chicken is hard, but it can be done. Catching an eagle, that's a whole different game. Okay, and so we're looking at this. And so how is God speaking to us? Well, first of all, let me take a couple of minutes just to go back to where we were. The Babylonians were closing in, and in 586 BC, before Jesus, the Babylonians got fed up. King Nebuchadnezzar came, and they leveled the city of Jerusalem. I mean, literally, they leveled it. They took everything. They destroyed the temple, which was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. They destroyed it. And they leveled the place and took everybody and brought them 1,000 miles away to Babylon. They said, you're not even going to live in your land anymore. So these people, they have no hope. They have no land. They have no future. They don't know the language. They don't know the place. They don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, here they are. And God saying, hey, you're going to soar like an eagle. And you're going, we can barely make it as chickens. And you're telling us we're going to soar like an eagle. Haven't you ever felt like that? When God says something that is so amazingly outlandish that you can't believe it. Like I just told you. Okay, God wants this place to be filled. And you're going, oh, yeah, sure. You don't believe that. But God, he already put that into motion. And the fact that you're here is a testimony that he's working in that direction. And so when God says, hey, you're going to soar like an eagle, you're going, bark, 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 I'm a chicken. And God's saying, no, you're not. You think you're a chicken, but you're really an eagle. And so how do we do that? We look at this thing and it says that we wait upon the Lord. He's going to renew us. In other words, it's not something that's going to happen from outside. It's something that's going to happen from God inside of us. There's a button that's going to switch. And so what happens with us is that he tells us that we, okay, who is we? Us. Shall mount on eagle wings. We will fly. We will fly. Now, have you ever thought about that? God, in his infinite power. Now, this is the God of the universe. In his infinite power, he's looking at you. He's looking at me. And he's saying, you can fly. You can fly. You can fly. He's saying, I give you the power to fly. And so God gives us the needed things, the important elements which make possible for us to fly above our circumstances and our problems. And so how does that work? How does something like this? Now, this is just a little foam airplane. But when I came here, I was in a, 50-ton airplane? I mean, this thing was huge. And I'm wondering, how is this thing ever going to get off the ground? And you're off, and you're flying, and you're going, we're flying, we're flying. There's a science that tells us why a plane flies. And it's the same science that makes this little thing fly, incredibly enough. The first thing is that you need a platform of power. You can't just... poof, you have to launch from someplace. In this case, I'm the launching pad, okay? Now, we talked on Friday, the first half of this sermon, if you want to call it that, was roots. We need roots. We need roots. But sometimes in church, we emphasize roots so much that that's all we get. We forget that God wants us to have wings because he made us to fly. And so what happens is that we forget that we have a platform of power. Now, what's the platform of power? How can I go out there and say something stupid like, well, this place is going to get filled with people? And you're a part of it. And you're going, yeah, all right. Well, you know, when's that going to happen? Well, it's not because I'm looking at you and going, man, these are amazing people that are going to do some amazing things. No, it's because there's an amazing God that said you're going to fly. And so what happens when you have a platform is that that platform gives you the ability to go. Eh? The platform sends you out. The platform launches you. And so our platform is the reality of God and the power of God. It's the power of God. When this plane flies, there's a power that says, you're going down, buddy. And what's the name of that power? Gravity. It's the same gravity that holds us down. But then there's another power. There's a power that says, hey, we can go beyond gravity. And so not only do we have a powerful platform, but God also provides the power of pressure. You know that flight, if you look at it scientifically, is a very simple thing. Whether it's a bird or whether it's this little foam plane or whether it's one of those humongous jumbo jets. Okay, I traveled to Europe. I traveled to Israel a lot. I'm going to be going back to Israel in Israel. And what kind of planes do we go? It's these huge planes. Okay, there's this new European plane, the Airbus number. I don't know what the heck. It's got three levels. I mean, it's huge. This thing is huge. How does that thing fly? Now, I don't see that as a miracle. How can your chicken life fly? Now, that's a bigger miracle to me. I can see the miracle of the Airbus flying. I can't see your chicken life flying for anything in the world. I'm going, oh my Lord, this person's so screwed up. How in the world is that going to fly? But it's the same principle. It's the pressure. There's a pressure differential. And so when you have a platform and you lift off, there's a pressure differential. And underneath the wings, you create a lower pressure. And that lower pressure does what? Lifts. It provides lift. It provides lift. And whether it's a bird or whether it's a 747 jumbo jet or whether it's this little plane or your little plane, it's the same principle. It's the principle of what? Of pressure. There has to be pressure. If there's no pressure, what happens? You don't fly. But what's the problem with pressure? We don't like pressure. We really don't like pressure. Why don't we like pressure? Huh? Because we want things to be easy. But do you know that the more pressure there is, the more lift you get, the higher you fly? Huh? You need pressure. And so the idea is that God provides the air pressure. Do you know that eagles are very smart birds? They have these things called thermal air currents. Okay, the air, it heats up in some places, and it creates these tubes. Literally, they're tubes of air currents. And guess what these birds do? They look for a thermal. And when they find a thermal, what happens? And they look. They don't even have to move. They're just, what are they riding? And these thermals, do you know that they warm up? And so they're just flying around. And you see them going, okay, have you ever experienced something like that in your life where God creates the pressure where you can actually feel the thermal where you're off and you're just going up and up and you're wondering, how in the world is this happening to me? I can't believe this. God provides the pressure. So he has a platform and he builds the pressure. And the next thing you know, it's what? What do you need to go? Now, even if you have the lift and even if you have the platform, you still need something. Okay, in this case, it's my hand. What's my hand doing? The power of propulsion. You know what the reason why those 747 jets stay up there? Because they have these four engines that are going, okay? And it's, what, 35,000 pounds of thrust power, something like that, that they push out, huh? And what happens then? Huh? Then you go forward. Do you know that God never gets tired? God never gets tired of pushing us out. God never gets tired of helping us. Have you ever got tired of helping somebody? My father is a pastor, and there's this guy that he's been helping for years. And I tell my dad, have you ever heard of this thing called codependency? Dad, this idiot, look, this person, he's codependent. You're helping him and helping him, and now he thinks you're... And so my dad always turns around and he says, well, what if God decided to stop helping? What would happen if God decided to stop propulsing us, shipping us out? Now, the reality is that he's never going to stop. There's always going to be, the motor is never going to turn off. The motor is always going to be on. We're always going to be going forward. And the other thing is, we are his children. He is our father. And because of that, does any father here expect their child to fail? Huh? My wife, she says that they're not going to invite me anymore to her school performances because I get to be a nuisance. And one of the reasons is because all the parents, they go and, you know, my wife is a first grade teacher. And so usually they'll call me to help out and do things. I don't want to help out. You know, I want to be a good husband to her and support her in her job. She certainly supports me in mine. And so I go over there. And you should see all these parents and grandparents. They think their kid is the only kid in the world. And they think that their kids are all geniuses. And they think that their kids are the most beautiful kids in the world. And so they don't care about anybody else's kid. It's just them. And so, I mean, they prepare this little program, and the kids are there. And all of a sudden, there's this guy with this huge TV camera. Because now it's not the little camera with a video. No, you got to have you could do the news on this thing. You know, they're out there with these huge cameras. You go, hey, buddy, your kid's not the only one. What's the deal? Move it. But everybody wants their kid to shine. Everybody's proud of it. Yeah, you do the same thing. And I do the same thing too. What do you think God does? You're his kid. You're his little paper airplane. So he wants you to fly. And so God designed us to fly. And here's the other thing that you have to keep in your head. Because we're afraid to fly. Let's face it. We're scared to death of flying. We are scared to death of flying. We're scared of that. Okay, how many of you have ever jumped out of a parachute? Plane with a parachute? No? I know. No, nobody in the army. Nothing. I almost did. I took the training. I got on the plane, and then I chickened out. I can't believe I said that, but it's true. I had some friends over there in Covington. And, you know, in Covington, you can actually go skydiving. There's this little airport, and they'll take you. Well, I did everything. I did the, got up there. I ain't doing it. I wish I hadn't done that. But we're afraid. We're afraid. Now, here's the thing that we need to remember. God will never leave us. He will never. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how far you go. It doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter how you get. You're his kid. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to let you go. Okay? He's not going to let you go. And so the idea is, what are we going to do? How many of you remember the story of the ugly duckling? One person? That's it? Nobody else knows the story of the ugly? Okay, good. How's that go? Remember? Huh? How's it all start? It starts with the eggs, right? There's a big egg that the farmer found. And he said, well, look, there's an egg around here. Let me put it. He puts it with the chickens, okay, in the chicken coop. And so all the eggs hatch. And there's this bird that doesn't look like the other birds. And so the other birds, what do they do with this other little bird? Because he was so different. Huh? Yeah, they push him out. And so the ugly duckling grows up feeling unwanted. And what changes him? He's with chickens. And so do chickens fly? No, every once in a while they'll grow up on a fence or something. But that's about it. But then he sees what? He sees the swans, and they're flying, and they're beautiful. And at some point, something clicks, and he realizes that he's a swan. He's not a chicken. Now, I guess what I'm trying to tell you is imagine yourself as that ugly duckling. And all the situations around you. There's people telling you things. There's people, some are saying hurtful things. Some are saying things that aren't true. Some are saying things that you really shouldn't have to hear. But they're telling us that. And then you look up and then you see these beautiful birds flying. And there's a longing. Haven't you felt that? The longing in your heart to fly, huh? The longing in your heart to fly. And guess what God is telling you today, huh? Those who trust in the Lord, and that's the only condition. If you trust in the Lord, what's going to happen? They will soar. They're going to go upwards like eagles. And so what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? Huh? What does that mean for us? You got your little plane there? Huh? Well, you know, I already told you, I'm a kid at heart. And so what did I do? Huh? All right, let me borrow your plane for a second, brother. Yeah. Okay. You know what I did? I forgot when I did it. See this little clip? The little nose? I forgot. I didn't see it. And so I'm going, I got ripped off. Honey, I got to send these back. These things don't work. Somebody lied on the internet. I can't believe somebody would lie on the internet. And I'm going, this thing doesn't work. It doesn't work. But what happened? Huh? I found this little bag, which you have, and it's got this little clip. And so you stick this little clip in there. And then what happens? Huh? Oh, my Lord, did you see it? I'm not going to get it. Did you see what happened? Now, that's the difference. The difference is that if we don't have that little clip, I mean, and let's face it, if you don't have Jesus in your life, how's your plane going to fly? It's going to do these little wicked-looking things. But once you put it in, and once you have the platform, remember we talked about roots? And once you have the pressure, and even the negative pressures of life, God turns those around. And then when you have his power pushing you forward, guess what you're going to do? Maybe for the first time in your life, you're going to forget that you're a chicken and you're going to start thinking you're an eagle. And what's going to happen? You're going to? How many of you believe that? How many of you actually believe that you can fly?
Amen.
Ah, amen. Who said that?
Me.
Yeah, shut up, Cookie. Okay. Okay, let me tell you something, and I wish I could say, hey, I didn't have to go. I went through it. Sometimes our situations are so overwhelming that we believe that we will never be able to fly. And when we open our eyes to this world, you know what the world's telling us? You can't fly. You can't fly. This is not going to happen for you. You are not going to be happy. You are not going to be healthy. You are not going to be able to become the person that you've dreamed. You're not going to fly because guess what? You're a chicken. Everybody around you is a chicken. You're a chicken. Start clucking. And we cluck. And we forget that God created us to fly. Now, what does that mean? Literally, we're not going to go fly. Obviously, you know, we're not Superman. That's not the point. The point is that regardless of your circumstance and your situation, you can fly. You can fly. If you're going through a tough marriage, guess what God says? You can fly. If you're going through a tough time at your work, guess what God says? You can fly. Yesterday, I was here. Down the block, I was buying some supplies at a store, and some man was complaining, and he wasn't doing it in a bad way. It wasn't a complaint of pity. It was, you know, he wasn't whining. He just says, "Hey, I work on the platforms, and they're only paying $233 a week." I'm going, 200, well, that's pretty low. And so he was working with his dad on a shrimp boat, and he says, you know, I'm just having such a hard time making ends meet. And so I caught that the end of the conversation, because he was actually asking for an application to work at this store. And I said, brother, you're pretty under the weather. He says, man, it's been tough. And he says, and it's not just for me. There's a bunch of my friends and the people I know, and we're honest people. I mean, he kind of looked at me and says, hey, I'm not, you know. and we're just trying to make it. And I'm sitting here going, Lord, have mercy on this person, because we forget. Now, we all have situations, and they all pull us down. So the question is, do you want to, what? Fly. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm just a spokesperson. I'm just a spokesperson. I don't have any power. I can't make you fly. I wish I could. I'd be God. But then he can. That's what he said. He says that he could make us fly. Now, the reality is, and I've experienced this in my life, the reality is that flying is almost, I mean, when you look at flying, it's almost like a miracle. When you look at people that fly, they're living miracles. I know people that have flown over cancer. I know people that have flown over handicaps. I know people that have flown over monetary problems, financial issues. I know people that have flown over difficult relationships. I know people that have flown over things that you can't imagine. There's two women in my seminary, one of my classes, and one of them is a Cuban doctor and her daughter. She's in her late 40s. The daughter is, 15, 16, something like that. Well, they came from Cuba to the United States. Well, you know, there's a bunch of people that do that. Well, you know how they did it? The doctor was sent to Venezuela to serve as a Cuban doctor, and they illegally snuck out of Venezuela and went into Colombia. And they did it by land. They came by land, hiding from the authorities of all these other countries so that they could come to the United States. And you should hear their stories. And so I got my wife and I said, look at here. You're always complaining to me. Look. Now, what would happen if you had to do that? She goes, well, I got a God that helps me. Just like they had a God that helped them. And I had to shut my mouth and say, okay. Well, guess what? You got the God who helps you. And so I'm going to pray, and like I said, I'm just a spokesman. The guy who does the business, his name is God. Jesus is his name. And through his spirit, he ministers to us for real so that you can fly. Now, the trick is that you have to do what? Those who trust. It's not, I'm going to trust in the banks. I'm not going to trust in the this. I'm not going to trust in money. I'm going to trust in the Lord. So whatever your issue is that's keeping you tied to the ground, now is the time to trust in the Lord and fly. Just like that little plane that I gave you can fly, you can fly. And so all I'm going to do is make an invitation in the name of Jesus. And if you want to come and demonstrate your trust in the Lord by coming up here as a witness and saying, I trust God, and I'm going to put this situation under his control because I want to fly.